The deadline is upon us for one of the great system integration problems of our time, getting healthcare.gov to work properly.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio in Washington today. The Obama administration promised that tomorrow's the day that, quote, the vast majority of users should find the site healthcare.gov working smoothly to log on and sign up for health insurance. Stan Alcorn reports.
The front door to Obamacare should be opening more smoothly now. But insurance law scholar Tom Baker at the University of Pennsylvania has this advice.
Anybody who signs up on healthcare.gov ought to hit print.
That's a way to guard against problems with the government-run exchange's backdoor, the one that connects you to the insurance companies. There have been scattered reports of the government passing along bad data.
Even if everything goes as smoothly as possible from this point, we're going to have some of these problems. And it's just a question of the volume.
A few people are going to have data that's not correct. Compared to the tens of millions of people who have no coverage right now, that's a minor problem.
That's Dr. J. Mario Molina, CEO of Molina Healthcare. He says he's pleased with the government's progress, and he isn't worried about his own coming deadline, starting coverage on January 1st for people enrolling as late as December 23rd.
We process a couple million patients through our system the last week of the month as it is.
And if there's a mistake, you can always show them that printout. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Australian officials have stepped in to reject a $2.6 billion bid by U.S. agricultural giant Archer Daniels Midland to buy one of Australia's largest grain companies. The Australian treasurer turned down ADM's bid for GrainCorp, citing national interest, and GrainCorp stock plummeted 22% in Sydney today. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
ADM is a grain company. It takes corn, soybeans, wheat, and turns them into food ingredients, chemicals, and fuel. It had pushed hard for the GrainCorp deal. Earlier this week, it had offered up an additional $200 million to build agriculture infrastructure in Australia, just to sweeten the pot a little. No such luck. The company was counting on GrainCorp to extend its global reach, something it's been promising investors. Here's ADM CEO Patricia Wartz earlier this month at a Morgan Stanley conference.
Our strategy is to do some investment for growth outside the U.S. It is where markets are growing as well as where origination or crop regions are growing.
GrainCorp would have helped with that growing, increasing ADM's access to China and other Asian markets. ADM does own about 20% of the company now and says it'll look for other places to invest. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
From time to time, we invite our quiz master, Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist, to do his best to stump us with his fiendish questions in the interest of better understanding the world. Good morning, I hope, Stefan.
Good morning, David.
All right, what's the quiz question?
In 2012, if you look at the Fortune 500 companies, the largest publicly listed companies in the United States, how many of them individually generated $10 billion or more in profits? Is it a cool 190 of those Fortune 500, around 55, so slightly more than 10%, 40, or a measly 15?
Let's see. So Apple Computer makes about $30 billion a quarter. So that would do it. But there's not a whole lot of Apple Computers. I'm going to say 15.
You are getting so wise, I have to get tougher questions. This is no fun.
You got to wake up pretty early in the morning to fool the morning man.
You are getting the early morning premium for this. It is indeed true. And the bonus question, of course, since you talked about Apple, how many make more than $25 billion?
I can't imagine many. We're going to say like four or something?
It's three companies. It's ExxonMobil, it's Apple, and it's Chevron. The other interesting thing around that is in the Fortune 500, there are only three companies that since 1955 have ever held the top spot. And those, of course, are ExxonMobil, Forever One, General Motors, and Walmart. So the other bonus question is how many of those 500 didn't have any profits last year?
Oh, gee whiz. Of 500, I'm going to think 47%, not quite half.
10%.
So you're saying it's good to be a Fortune 500 company generally?
Yes, a very diversified picture, but, some companies really make a bundle.
You can follow Stefan Richter on Twitter at The Globalist. Stefan, thank you.
Thank you, Perfect David.
Probably not. And the manager of a Pizza Hut in Elkhart, Indiana, says he was fired after he refused to tell his staff to stay open and work Thanksgiving Day. When told to write a letter of resignation then, Tony Rohr wrote one that said, according to WSBT Television, quote, "I accept that the refusal to comply with this greedy, immoral request means the end of my tenure with this company." Continuing, he wrote, "I hope you realize it is the people at the bottom of the totem pole that make your life possible." Now, amid the publicity, Pizza Hut higher-ups are trying to keep 28-year-old Rohr on staff. At the Marketplace Washington Bureau today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.